Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, the Cowboys have officially left California. They're not going back for 2019. They're in Hawaii. Game 2 against the Rams tomorrow night, 6 o'clock pregame right here on your home of America's team. It's Sean and RJ, Roy White in for Choppy. Let's do California training camp winners and losers at 877-881-1053, and then you can watch some practice for yourself here at the Star in Frisco. One of my top winners is Michael Gallup, and the offense has a chance to take a major step with Michael Gallup. Just to me, Amari Cooper was clearly your number one, but Michael Gallup was awesome out there. They couldn't cover him. Dak seemed to feel very comfortable going to him. Michael Gallup with a sit-down with the G-Bag Nation, talking about another pizza party that maybe Jeff Kavanaugh could throw for him and how much more comfortable he is now versus last year. A complete 180 in the meeting room, in talking to the media, and out there on the field.
Dallas Cowboys.
Huge, huge training camp, I thought, for Michael Gallup.
Yeah, there's a guy who took advantage of the opportunities afforded him. Amari Cooper was left out. You know, that could have been a hole in the Cowboys wide receiving core there in training camp, and Michael Gallup stepped right into it. That leads me to a star up from training camp that I've been looking at as well. The Cowboys secondary, I feel like, has been glowing reviews, and that goes for all three. Anthony Brown, Chidobe Awuzie, and even Jordan Lewis, who
You're forgetting a major one. I mean, I would even...
Alumba?
Woods.
Oh, okay, sorry. Well,
it starts with Woods.
Yeah, I was kind of meaning just all the cover corners and not necessarily the safeties. I thought we might do them separately, but I agree. I mean, Xavier Woods has had glowing reviews as well, getting turnovers out there. Cheeto, you know, built on that first preseason game where I thought he was really, really strong. Anthony Brown, sure tackler. All these guys have become really sure tacklers, and that's all the reports coming out of camp there in California. So big star up to the Cowboys starting secondary, and I will include Xavier Woods in that
there. Yeah, as a group, the secondary, I think, jumps off the page. I mean, glowing reviews is dead on. Woods with the turnovers. Cheeto, physicality and coverage. Jordan Lewis, Brian Broaddus was loving him on DallasCowboys.com heading into Oxnard. So right now, based upon camp, and again, some of these things can fool you. If they get torched for 425 in one of the early weeks, you're like, oh, I thought you guys said the secondary was good. And this is without Byron. So maybe there's a chance of having a lockdown secondary with all these young kids that they drafted and developed. Huge, huge winner, the Cowboys secondary in California.
Winner for me as far as Cowboys and what they did in Oxnard, it's a guy who doesn't even wear a jersey. It's Kellen Moore. Everyone went out there to practice. When you guys arrived, of course, I'm not there because, you know, they don't want to pay for me to go out there.
Yeah.
But when you guys arrived, some of you, but mostly 99% of the other media members would stay on the sideline, arms crossed. Show me what you got, kid. And he did. He started doing plays. He started doing formations, started doing motions that everyone's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He actually did what he said he would do. That's a big winner right there, Kellen Moore.
Yeah, Roy found an amazing article on Kellen that we'll put up in a little bit from The Ringer, and we'll take you through it at 7:20. You're going to get hyped up over the changes to the Cowboy offense that we saw out there and was detailed in this piece. A loser for me is an emerging wideout. Told you one of my huge concerns was wide receiver after Amari, after Gallup, after the combo of Cobb and Tavon Austin, and it's still a humongous concern. Jonvea Johnson, stock dropped. Guyton, bleh. Reggie Davis, meh. We're seeing some Devin Smith. Nobody emerged big time. And I don't know who the immediate backup is to Michael Gallup or Amari Cooper. If something happens to one, right now Amari, of course, dealing with the foot issue.
Still feels very wide open. Could be any of the wide receivers. Heck, Noah Brown could make his way back in here and all of a sudden run past all these guys as he has some familiarity with this offense. So I would agree the wide receiving core outside of, you know, the three main guys not been all that special. Another star down for me, and I think it's an obvious one, is Brett Maher. I know he's been 12 for 12 the last 2 days. Can't understand why they just every day say, we're just going to kick 6 times, no matter how he does. Like, if he's not making them, today we're going to kick 15 field goals. Or we're going to have him do it over here on the side with the third team guys excessively. There's not really anything that I've heard that makes me feel comfortable about Brett Maher. And I know some people are going to say, kicking, it doesn't really matter that much. Well, you're going to feel differently when you're in that situation needing a field goal from 45 yards and Brett Maher's your kicker. That's all I'm saying. You're right. It might not matter in the long scheme of things from a season to season, but in the moment, you're going to feel...
I'm not saying it doesn't matter. That's RJ that says that.
Yeah.
I don't dismiss that. That's RJ, not
me. Well, sorry.
Me.
When I'm saying you, I'm speaking to the you that is disputing that. You and I are on the same side.
Are people disputing that on the fan text? Or is Choppy the only one?
Oh, yeah.
The kicking does not matter.
Well, there's been multiple people both on the fan text, you know, from our guy from the 337 has many times disputed.
Oh, yeah. In other words, RJ's earpiece.
Well,
the one who tells RJ all those football opinions.
Yeah, and the guys that tend to side more with RJ from an analytical standpoint. I don't want to say over analytics because that's dismissing it a little bit, but analytics that I don't necessarily comprehend as easily, and I don't necessarily know if RJ comprehends them as easily as he claims to.
So what's the fan text say about it in terms of the kicker, 337?
From the 469, Maher is over 90% in camp now as a result of those last 12 for 12. Okay. My response would be, how many times did he kick over 50? Like, he should be 90% inside 50 yards. That's the league average. The league average last season between 0 and 49 yards was 89%. He was 79%. That's what I'm talking about. Not the ability to hit a 62-yarder. I want consistency in between the 35 and 50.
The automatics have to be automatic. That's
it. Or close to.
And our biggest worry about Maher is the automatics. Another winner. I think this guy was a huge media winner. Tony Pollard.
Yeah, that's...
Because now everyone is cool with Tony Pollard. Maybe the other day I came across a little bit harsh. It wasn't towards Tony. It was just towards everyone thinking that he can carry the load when he didn't do it in college. Now, maybe that means he's more fresh, but if you go and look at his college numbers, one season equals 2 games of work for Zeke Elliott. Now you say, well, he was a receiver. Okay, that's good for versatility, but that doesn't mean anything for the workload argument. Brian Broaddus yesterday said when we asked him, split up the carries if it's Tony Pollard and Alfred Morris without Zeke. And he said 3-1. Did that surprise you? Alfred Morris, triple the workload to Tony Pollard. And by the way, Alfred Morris would be a huge winner for Broaddus as well out there in California.
3-1. It sounds like about the right ratio. Look, I mean, Zeke had his many.
It doesn't sound like the right ratio to all the other hype people here. People are like, start Tony Pollard. And Tony Pollard's going to get, you know, 2/3 of the carries, 3/4 of the carries. That's the media spin on it.
Okay. I was feeling like the media in general was saying half of the carries to Tony Pollard and Alfred Morris, and then all of the pass catching to Tony Pollard. So that's where kind of the 2/3 of the workload in my mind came in. I do expect him to still be a major part, maybe 90% of their pass catching offense, because I don't necessarily trust Alfred Morris to be spectacular or even great in that role. But when you look, as you mentioned, Sean, Zeke had as many catches last year, 77 close to. He had as many catches as Tony Pollard had runs in his final year at Memphis. So I don't agree either that he's definitely going to hold up to that workhorse back mentality, but he is a star up because, as you mentioned, he's gotten so much love from the front office, from the media. Everybody's kind of piling it on, and he hasn't done anything to negate that.
Will McClay was asked by The Athletic, can Tony Pollard play all 3 downs immediately? He said, definitely feels like he can if he needs to. We saw him as a space player that could probably carry the ball on all 3 downs, but then for him to come in and pick up protections and do all the things that he's done, it's a very difficult deal for a running back to come in the NFL and understand protections and understand coverages and understand defenses, why they do things, and he's got a unique way of doing that. He can take it from the board when you're drawing it up to the field. He's just unique in that way, so it's been really surprising just to see how quickly he has sped up on things. So Tony Pollard in the classroom is really jumping out to Will McClay and others.
Hey, I love the fan texters coming in with their own winners and losers from training camp at 877-881-1053 on the AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Not one we've mentioned up to this point. From the 865, Blake Jarwin.
Yes.
Does he deserve a star up for the hype he's gotten in camp? I would say so, simply because he's gotten hype and done enough at this point to where if he was starting over Jason Witten, I don't think anybody would react negatively to it.
No.
And if you told me that was the case a year ago, we all would have been like, of course we want Jason Witten in there.
And Jason Witten has to get a star up just for health and interviewing skills. He sat down with DallasCowboys.com and they asked him, how you feeling? You've been grinding here for weeks at the age of 37. How are you, 82?
Feel good, though. I mean, body's really responded. I haven't had a day since March when I came back of, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through the day, you know? And I have visuals of certain veterans throughout my career that I'm like, man, you know, I remember Darren Woodson at the end there when he's trying to come back from that back, like, I just can't physically do it. I haven't had that moment yet. And I certainly saw Tony go through those battles.
Right.
So I feel good. I feel blessed. Certainly got a new perspective on things and enjoying every day.
I'm now going to couple up for my next pair of winners and losers. Losers, the early rookie picks. Tristan Hill and Connor McGovern.
Yeah, that's from the 469 saying the exact same thing. Hasn't Hill been a huge disappointment so far? We haven't heard barely anything about what he's been doing other than he's the caboose of the train.
And then, yeah, that's from the words of the mouth of Rod Marinelli. And then Connor McGovern just hurt with a pec issue. So star down for their California camps. And then for the up, two guys that we needed to take a big step. Lael Collins and Connor Williams up front. Connor Williams needed the big step from the strength standpoint. That happened. And Lael Collins, I think he had a pretty good training camp while we were out there in Oxnard.
Yeah, Connor Williams also took a big step by taking multiple steps towards a buffet and adding about 20 pounds of muscle, so he did well. Speaking of young players, John Vay Johnson. Last week, John Vay Johnson, the Dallas News had an article of why he was the Cowboys' latest undrafted gem. Wow, that all changed after that preseason game, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like the heat and everyone that was like, man, this kid has something in him. Didn't really develop anything. And also, speaking of young players, I mean, it's obvious, not like it's pertinent to what's the goal here for the Cowboys, but a big loser is Mike White. How long is he going to be here?
Yes, big loser on that. And then a big winner is Travis Frederick, just for health and getting through this camp and getting snaps that actually matter. Does not sound like they are just guiding him along. He went all in first day, and he's been doing it since.
Yeah, so that's a lot of positivity. Again, fan texture coming in on the 214 was saying the same thing about huge star up for Travis Frederick. There's a couple guys who I don't know whether to give star up or star down to. Taco, star up or star down, feels like he's kind of in the same place he was.
Yeah.
Dorrance Armstrong, don't necessarily know if he ascended with all the opportunities he's had with Robert Quinn and DeMarcus Lawrence being out, but you know, he hasn't done anything to fall out of that space. So there's still a couple guys that I'm waiting to see what they do when they get back here to Frisco. And of course, they'll start practicing next week. Going to have those available and open to the public August 20th through the 22nd. They're going to have open practice out at the Star starting at 11:30. And that's open to the public August 20th through the 22nd. And then they'll do it again the following week. So you can go out there and get a look at the Cowboys for yourself.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.